Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Hallelujah. Let's turn back over to Psalms chapter 85. This is the verse that I started with last night, and I'm going to start here, and we're going to continue talking about this. But in Psalms chapter 85 and in verse 10, it says, "Mercy and truth are meant together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And I spent quite a bit of time last night just trying to show that these are polar opposites. They're things that could never come together. Because of truth, because of justice, because of integrity, how could God ever have mercy on us? Because we don't deserve it. Because we are unrighteous and not righteous, how could we ever have peace with God? And I spent quite a bit of time talking about that last night and trying to amplify that today we live in a society that's gotten so far away from morality and right standards and right way of thinking that now we look at people that are perverting everything, every single facet of life, and we think that, well, that's okay and it's an alternative lifestyle and it's just as viable as anything else. No, it's a terrible offense. It's an abomination is what God calls a lot of these ways that people are living. And how can a holy God have relationship with unholy people? This is a paradox. And the answer is found in Jesus. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and look at a passage here. And of course, this is something that, you know, the answer is obvious. I know that most of you think, well, everybody knows this, but we don't live it. Most people are relating to God based on performance, based on their own goodness. And this is the very thing that's hindering us from seeing the power of God manifest in our life. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," talking about in Jesus, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Boy, there is a mouthful in these verses. This is much more important than what most people recognize. This is saying in verse 20, that the way He made peace, remember this verse that we were using last night, that righteousness and peace have kissed each other? How did you ever bring, how could a righteous, holy God ever have peace with people who aren't righteous and holy? How could these two things ever coexist? How could they ever kiss each other? How could they come together? It says right here that He made peace through the blood of His cross. If you understand properly, this really raises the value that you place on Jesus and what He did for us. Most people do not fully appreciate and fully understand how imperative it was that Jesus had to come to this earth and be a man and suffer and die to take our sins. And they think that Jesus was just a part of the puzzle, that Jesus was a part of the equation. But then we also have to add to that our own goodness. And we also have to live up to a minimum standard. I tell you, that kind of thinking, if we really understood what these verses are saying, that through the blood of His cross was how we were made, had peace with God. And we were alienated, but now we have been, what was the term? Reconciled in the body of His flesh through His death. If we fully understood what that meant, I guarantee you it would take care of this self-righteousness. It would take care of the condemnation. A person who feels condemned and guilty and, "God, how could you love me? God, how could you use me?" You do not understand what Jesus paid. You think that Jesus is a part of it, that certainly you had to have Jesus, but you've also got to add to it your own goodness. I guarantee you that is a total unjustified opinion based on Scripture. It was Jesus that totally reconciled us unto God. You didn't do anything to make yourself acceptable, to have peace with God. Jesus paid it all. And if He paid it all, that means that there's nothing left for you to pay. The only part that you have to do with it is you can either believe and receive or doubt and do without. You could reject it. You could ignore what Jesus has done. And you could try and be acceptable to God based on your own performance. But you can't do anything to please God and to make yourself more worthy in the sight of God. I don't know if you're listening to what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is just completely contrary to the vast majority of religion today. Most religion is telling you the things that you have to do to please God and to make yourself acceptable and to get God to heal you and deliver you and set you free and to move in your life. You could go out here today and get on the internet and check out, and you can find 10,000 sermons on the seven things you must do to make God move and to do this. And we're trying to get God to do all of these things, not understanding that we've already been reconciled through the blood of His cross. It's through what Jesus did. And if Jesus paid it all, then there's nothing left for you to pay. And any attempt on your part to try and pay something undoes the atonement that Jesus has done. You weaken it. You pollute it. You defile it. You can't mix your own goodness. You can't look at your own holiness. You can't think that, God, I've got to be holy for You to move in my life. That dishonors Jesus. Now, you should be holy because holiness makes your heart softer towards God and more receptive to God. Holiness helps other people see the Lord in your life. You still should live holy, but holiness is a byproduct. It's a fruit and not a root of salvation. And again, the church as a whole is preaching that, no, you got to be holy before God will move in your life. You'll hear statements like, God won't use a dirty vessel. God hadn't got any other kind of vessel to use. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. You aren't going to be the first one. It is not according to your goodness and your holiness. You cannot deserve the blessing of God. And until you get this established and figured out, you'll never have mercy and truth together. You'll never have righteousness and peace kiss each other. You'll never come in to peace in your relationship with God because it's always going to put the burden upon your back to produce and to do things. I tell you, God is a just, holy God. And when God said that you eat of the fruit, you die. The soul that sins, it shall die. God bound Himself by that. God cannot change. Psalms chapter 89, I believe it's verse 34, says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. When God says something, it's a covenant. I guarantee you, if God supports a child, it's a covenant. He's not going to say, whoops, King's X. You know what, I'm having a little bit of trouble. I think I'll quit supporting. I'll violate my word. No, God says something, it's binding to Him. And so when God says, you sin, you die, it was binding. Death is the wage of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first part of that verse says, the wages of sin is death. Sin has a payment to it. There is a payday for sin. Every time you sin, it produces death. Sin has to be judged. You know, I had a pastor in a church that I went to, and it was kind of a strange church. It was a little bit radical. It was a Baptist church, but it was kind of radical for a Baptist church. And the pastor would literally stand on this part of the pulpit where you put your Bible, and he would bend over and get the microphone and just scream and yell, and he'd lose 5 pounds when he preached. Sweat would pour out of him, and he would just scream. And one of his favorite things is, sin's got to be judged. Sin's got to be judged. If you do something wrong, God's going to take it out in doctor bills. He's going to punish you. If you don't pay your tithes, He'll put you in the hospital and take 10% from you. So either pay up or God will put you in the hospital and take it from you. It was kind of more like the Godfather than God the Father. It was kind of like an extortion plot. that you pay up or God's going to get you. And anyway, one of his favorite statements was, sin's got to be judged, sin's got to be judged. And did you know that that's an absolute truth? Sin has to be judged. There is a payment for sin. But what this guy missed was that Jesus paid that price. Jesus paid for our sins. And you don't have to bear the judgment for your sins if you make Jesus your Lord. And if you make Jesus your Lord, he didn't bear the brunt of it, the bulk of it, and you just get now a minimum effect of sin. No, he paid it all so that in God's sight, it's just like you never sinned. It's just like you were righteous and holy and pure. Romans chapter 8 verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You have now had the righteousness of the law fulfilled in you. Not because you have fulfilled it, but because you put faith in a Savior and God now looks at you as being righteous and pure. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Here's a dilemma. God is holy. God said you commit sin, you die. He can't change. And yet he loves you. That produces a dilemma. How does he have a relationship with people that don't deserve it? You know, I'm going to use an example here. I hesitate to do this, but it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. There is one television program that I watch. I have to admit, I watch one television program and I've watched pretty much all of them. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Some of you will know when I give this example. But anyway, the President of the United States, their daughter killed a person. And they presented this to the president. And what are you going to do? And the husband of the president, you can't do this to our daughter. And they begged and they pled and they did all of this stuff. And finally, the president walked off, did some things, came back, said, I love you. I'm sorry that all these things have happened. And you thought that, man, she was about to cave in. And then she says, but you know what? I've taken an oath and I've sworn and you are wrong. And the marshals are out here to arrest you. And man, when that happened, I said, yes, amen. Somebody finally operated in integrity and did the right thing.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.